find us a paradise we can explore. It would be very nice, even if I've been before. Whether old or new, I'll adore the view even more with you. Take me away. Show me
a king's abode in Scotland or in Zanzibar.
Maybe St. Thomas Lock,
the
tropical moonlight. Will make us a promise
of fantasy beneath the dune. Sweep me off my feet to the Isle of Crete, and don't be discreet. Take me away.
Indeed, take me away, Jenny. Everyone, this is Jenny Carr, who is the the grand wizard of your group. You lead it all.
Thank you. Hi, Cyril.
Hi, Jenny. Jenny, where are you calling from?
I am calling from Washington, D.C. Well, actually, Northern Virginia, but, you know, all of this is one big suburb. So, for all intents and purposes, it's our nation's capital.
And how cold can it be down there, really?
Very, very cold. There's a little bit of snow on the ground that came down a few days ago and hasn't melted yet. And we're in the sub-zeros. and the D.C. Folks don't do well with that.
Well, Jenny, I want to welcome you to WGXC. Thank you so much for calling this evening.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Sure. As I've already told our listening audience, the Uptown Vocal Jazz Quartet has a new release out called Vocal Madness.
Right.
And it's on your own House Cat Records.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And it features Richie Cole.
Right.
Now, if I remember correctly, Richie heard about you, actually saw you in performance in 2012.
He heard a recording of ours.
A recording. So, yes. And how did you two meet?
How did all that happen? it was a magical moment, a memorable moment. let me give you a little bit of background here. We released a CD recording about 2.5 years ago called Hustling for a Gig, which was a compilation of tunes that were mostly written by me and arranged in this harmonic vocal style that we do for Uptown Vocal Jazz Quartet, my group. And Richie had been there's a long story behind this. Richie heard this recording, and one song in particular, which was called He Was the Cat, which was the story of Eddie Jefferson, a great vocal jazz singer and sort of one of the inventors and pioneers of vocalese, a style of vocal jazz singing. And Richie had been on the road playing with Eddie Jefferson for a long time, so somehow or other he heard this recording, he heard the song that I'd written and the recording that we'd done of it, and he called me up and said, "Why didn't you have me play on that recording?" And that was a question that took me by great surprise, because he was very famous and I had idolized him for many years. And, you know, of course I wasn't going to call him to play on the recording, you know. But anyway, that was a great moment, because it was the beginning of a genuine friendship between Richie and me and the rest of my group, and his genuine desire to, you know, to work with us, to do a recording with us and to play some gigs with us. He really had hoped that we would, you know, do something with He Was the Cat about his dear friend and musical partner, Eddie Jefferson, that we would, you know, feature him. So we've done that, too. He was and is a jazz legend. He had played with the Manhattan Transfer in many performances on a number of their albums, their Grammy-winning albums back in the 70s and 80s, and we were big fans of his. So the day that he called me up and said, "Hey, why didn't you ask me to play on this and let's work together," was pretty monumental for me.
So how did you fit in a fifth voice into the group?
Oh, what a great question. Of his voice. Okay, so the alto sax that Richie is adding here is not really a voice in the same way that we're vocal voices, but it is a voice in that he's playing solos and we're singing backups behind him, and sometimes we're just kind of interweaving his sax part with our vocal parts. And that's, boy, how did we do that? That's a challenge of arranging that I always, you know, put myself up to. What really actually happened in terms of our process here was that Richie had a number of songs that he wanted us to record, many of which he had written. And so he sent me the lead sheets for those, and I orchestrated them for our four vocalists. And I just let him basically, as we say in the biz, blow solos, and then we added some backup vocals to it. So it was kind of an experimental process, but he and I and the rest of us were all on the same page in that we really all loved the sound of, you know, harmonic vocals, harmonic voices, kind of an orchestrated effect there in the jazz idiom. And you know, he was kind of relying on me to just arrange it for our voices and work him in on the sax solos and sing with him or behind him. So it kind of all came together in that way.
Wow. Since this has come out, have you played any gigs with them?
Well, actually not since Vocal Madness was released, mm-hmm. which just came out a few weeks ago. It's pretty new.
Yeah.
But we actually played, I guess it was a little over a year ago with Richie. We brought him down, or he came down to Washington, D.C., which is where we are based, and we did a joint concert together at Blues Alley, which is one of the great jazz supper clubs in the United States. Been in existence a long time, and Washington, D.C. is very proud to say that, you know, Blues Alley is here. And Richie came down here, I think it was probably a year ago this summer, yeah. He came down, and we were just, at that point, we had just begun to record Vocal Madness, and so we thought, oh, let's try this out on a live stage in the scene there. So we did it, Blues Alley, and that was a great success, and we continued working on the recording. We've actually been working on it for about a year and a half, continued working on it after that. And at this point today, we're sort of in that moment right now where we're trying to line up some new gigs with Richie. He's very interested, and we're very interested too. So we're in that mode right now. We'll definitely be appearing back at Blues Alley in D.C. again sometime this spring, late spring, early summer time frame, and we hope to be doing some other things with him out there too as well. And so does he. So it's all just kind of exploring the territory and finding a good fit for all of us.
Let me bring our listeners to your website. It's uptownvocaljazzquartet.com.
Right.
Right. And there's a picture of you all with your headphones with that iconic look of...
That is our CD cover for Vocal Madness.
How did you come up with that?
Thank you for asking that. What a great question. Well, Richie Cole is his sort of brand is Alto Madness. Alto Madness.
Right.
For many years he's been the Madness King, specifically Alto Madness. And that signifies his belief and his philosophy in that jazz should be exciting and fun and really at some level accessible to everyone, even if they didn't think they liked jazz. You know, you can take any crazy song, you know, popular song, and bebop it a bit and turn it into something really fascinating and jazz and wild and crazy. So Madness is his brand. And Richie has put out a number of albums over many years with the word Madness in them.
Yeah.
Alto Madness Music is his brand, his publishing company, and he's Hollywood Madness was an early album that he put out, which was very iconic, and he's done a number of those sort of Madness theme albums in between. And when he met with us a couple of years ago, hooked up with us, and we all agreed that we wanted to work together, you know, we started working on this recording together with him, and we thought, good grief, you know, what is this recording going to be called? And it just kind of came to us all of a sudden, well, it has to be Vocal Madness, because it's, you know, Richie's Alto Madness and Madness brand, and it's vocal, so vocal group. So we knew the name of the album early on was going to be Vocal Madness, and we were excited about that, and then we thought, okay, well, what does that look like? Okay, Vocal Madness, okay, we got to do some cover art for the CD. Well, there's this, you know, very well-known painting called The Scream, the Norwegian painting. Everybody knows it. They would know it if they saw it, whether they know the name or not, The Scream. And it features, the original painting features a figure in the foreground, you know, holding his hands over his ears and screaming, you know, just like, I can't take this craziness anymore, and all those kinds of crazy background scenery. And we thought, oh, wouldn't it be fun to take that theme that's so well-known, that painting that's so well-known, and, you know, indicate, okay, madness, you know, so we're all singing with our hands over our ears, similar to that figure. And then in the background is Richie playing his sax, and that is reminiscent of the figure in the original painting, The Scream.
Yeah.
You know, the whole madness idea, so... It's a parody of sorts, but we wanted to preserve the Alto Madness or the Madness brand of Richie Cole, and you know, just do a play on that, do a pun, a visual pun.
Right. All right, Ginny, it's going to be your pick. Let's take a little break here with some music.
Okay.
What do you want to hear?
Oh, well, let's see. Do we have 5 minutes or less than 5 minutes?
Oh. Don't you worry about a thing.
Okay,
pick something.
Don't worry. Okay, well, I think a good one to listen to is It's the Same Thing Everywhere, which is track number two.
Mm-hmm. Any little tidbit of a story behind this?
Yes, this is a song that was written quite a long time ago by Richie Cole. He's written quite a large songbook. This is one of his original songs. And I arranged it, and we are all in there. You know, he's playing some great solo work, and we're singing in harmony. We're singing the statement, the lead, and then we sing backup vocals behind him. And it's a pretty big orchestrated production all the way around. It features all of our musicians and all of our singers, and Richie, of course. So here's It's the Same Thing Everywhere.
Yeah, from Vocal Madness and the Uptown Vocal Jazz Quartet here at WGXC.
Memphis, St. Paul, Detroit, Elko, Galoo,
Toledo, Tulsa, Boston, San Francisco, Kalamazoo,
Denver, Duluth, Des Moines, New York, Denver,
Washington, D.C.,
Chicago, Baltimore, Milwaukee, Trenton, Corpus Christi.
It's the same thing.
You'll find it consistent wherever you go.
I know it's so.
But the faces may change.
And the places may change.
You know it's the same old story. Loving or
hating. So if your life is bleak and in despair,
you don't need to despair.
The rubber markers you find, it's the same thing everywhere.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
Thank you. da-da.
And it is the same thing everywhere, taken from Vocal Madness, the new release by the Uptown Vocal Jazz Quartet featuring saxophonist Richie Cole. And with me is Ginny Carr, one of the vocalists of the group. Hi, Ginny.
Hi, Cheryl.
Yeah. So let's talk about the quartet and the rest of the group.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you go.
You want me to go. Okay, well, our vocal quartet, we are Uptown Vocal Jazz Quartet. That's what we call ourselves. It's a four singers quartet. Yeah, four singers, two gals and two guys. And I'll give you the names of my singers because they are our, you know, our nucleus here. Besides me, it's Robert McBride, our tenor singer, Holly Shockey, our soprano singer, and in the jazz world, that's known as the lead, and Andre Antoniot, our bass baritone singer. So we are the vocal quartet, and we don't work a cappella. Some vocal quartets in the jazz world and other, you know, other genres are a cappella, but we're not. We work with a great jazz trio or quartet, sometimes a quartet. And on our recording, we have the best jazz musicians who make their home here in Washington, D.C. We're very privileged and happy to have them. Our drummer is Frank Russo. Our bass player is Max Murray. Our pianist is Alan Blackman. And our guitarist is Steve Herberman. So that's, eight musicians altogether, our vocalists and our instrumentalists, our rhythm section. And, of course, Richie Cole, who's, you know, really very, very well known, is our guest artist on this. And more than a guest artist, our saxophonist, but more than a guest artist, he's contributed a lot of the compositions that we were performing.
So that's 10 voices that we're talking about. How do you do it? How do you sit down and write for 10 voices, four that are vocals and six that are instrumental.
Yeah. Well, it's like being, you know, sometimes I think of myself as, you know, mini Leonard or Leonard Bernstein or something. Not saying that I'm anything nearly as good as he was, but the way that orchestrators think, whether they're using, you know, orchestra instruments or, you know, band instruments or vocals, you're thinking the same way in that you're thinking, okay, harmonies and, you know, parts and chords and a lot of musical technical theory kind of things. What do you want the, you know, what do you, you're singing or you're playing chords, so you want all those sounds to come out and blend together and make these beautiful lush jazz harmonic chords. So that's kind of where I start from. And the way we perform and what turns into our recordings, too, similar to our performances, is that we let our, I will write an arrangement, or a chart, as we say in the jazz vernacular, of four-part harmonies. You know, we have soprano, alto, tenor, bass voices. These are truly vocal voices. And I'm thinking, like, how would a big band play this, generally? So we've got our rhythm section, piano, bass, guitar, and drums. And, you know, they're going to lay down a foundation, and we're going to sing harmonic lines and chords against that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically give them a chord chart, or an arrangement. Say, okay, for the most part, you're going to kind of play these chords, and then you're going to get to this measure, and you're going to, you know, play a rhythm, and I'm going to dictate what that rhythm is. And they just take that chart, and they go with it. And they usually, being great jazz musicians, they'll lay down a really nice foundation. And then we'll come in after the fact and, you know, sing against that. But I've already written the structured arrangement for the vocals to sing. So those kind of, I guess I'm saying that those two elements come together, the structured vocal arrangement against the semi-improvised, semi-structured, orchestrated rhythm arrangement.
Right.
We do all that together. Actually, we record it in separate, you know, sessions. And then if we have a guest artist, like we did in this case, a very important guest artist, Richie Cole, a horn player or you know, some other instrumentalist, we'll have them come in usually and either lay their part on top of what we've sung and played or along with our rhythm section. So there really is kind of an orchestra thing going on. And then we put the vocals on top of that. It sounds like what I'm describing is very piecemeal, but it's all pretty much holistically conceived in that I'm, as the primary, as the arranger here, I'm thinking, like, what would an orchestra do? What would the, you know, the bass sound do and the rhythm sound do, and what would the trumpets and the saxes do? And then what would the, you know, upper reeds do and that sort of thing? So I think that's kind of the model that I follow. And it is very orchestrated, but the way we execute it and record it is, you know, I let the rhythm section kind of do their jazz thing a little bit. They've got the structured chart, but they also add their element of creativity and, you know, ideas to it all, as well as the featured sax player.
Yeah. Did you go to music school?
I did. Yes, the answer, the short answer is yes, but it was kind of after the fact for me. I went to college and majored in psychology, and I, you know, my career today is in education and psychology. It's not, my daytime career is not in music, but I did study for a few years. I did go to get a bachelor's degree in music education, in which I took, you know, a number of theory courses and other, and musical history and other music courses, just kind of to supplement what I already knew, I guess, and also to entertain the possibility that I might want to teach school.
Mm-hmm.
I might want to go into the education field with music, which I ultimately did not do.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get a lot of information through my studies that way, yeah. I have to say, though, that most of what I'm doing now as a jazz arranger and songwriter and, you know, writer is not so much founded on what I learned in school, but what I've learned, just by listening and by working with other great jazz arrangers and jazz vocal arrangers, it's just like a lot of jazz, you know, a lot of what you learn is just, you already kind of know what you like, and then you just listen to what the people you admire are doing, and you get a lot of ideas that way. So I think I know my theory from some schooling, but I think a lot of the creative ideas that I've brought to bear on this recording and previous recordings has been just by listening to great players and great arrangers.
The reason I asked is I wanted to know if you had taken any arrangement classes in college.
You know what? Surprise, no.
Yeah.
I hadn't, but that's a great question because I'm going to repeat myself here, but so much of what I've learned about jazz arranging has really been by looking at charts and listening to charts of arrangers that I admire, both for vocal jazz groups and instrumental, like big band. Big bands is the greatest model that I follow. I like to think that our vocal quartet is the sax section or the horn section of something like the Basie band. I mean, you know, the great arrangers that have written for the Basie band and other great jazz big bands, you know, including the military jazz big bands we have here in Washington, D.C., and we've got a lot of them. They're just really talented people, and they have great ears, and they know how to put together, you know, harmonic sounds and make things really swing and pop rhythmically, you know. So I've listened to a lot of their work, and I've looked at some of their charts, and, you know, I've experimented that way myself and just said, wow, you know, what are they doing that I like, and how do they voice these harmonies, and how do they voice these, you know, these transitions. So I do think that a lot of what we learn, both whether it's as players or singers or arrangers, we've got a lot of great models out there to follow, and you just have to listen and hear what you like and, you know, pay attention with your innermost ear, and you'll hear it. You'll hear their voices and the voicings and the harmonics and the transitions, and then you just kind of put your pen to the paper and you experiment a little bit, which I've done for a lot of years. And you'll figure it out.
Right. I tell you what, musical break. Your choice, okay. Dear.
My choice.
What are we listening to?
Well, let's listen to Take Me Away. That's a song that I wrote, and we sang a lot of harmonies on, and we had Richie play a solo on.
All right. Let's do it. Everyone, you're in tune to 90.7 FM, WGXC, ACRA.
Paradise we can explore. It would be very nice, even if I've been before. Whether old or new, I'll adore the view even more with you. Take me away.
Show me the open road. Fly me afar.
Won't you show me
the kings abode in Scotland or in Zanzibar? Maybe St. Thomas Love,
St. Thomas
the tropical moonlight, will make us a promise of
fantasy beneath the dune. Sweep me off my feet to the Isle of Crete, and don't be discreet. Take me away. Let's unwind and let's get away and never react to all the things that we've left undone. I wouldn't mind a beach yet today, matter of fact. Let me know when we go, my bag's already packed.
Take me away with you, somewhere sublime.
Just for a day or two, or maybe for the rest of time.
Sip a bit of grape on a windy cape, baby, let's escape.
Take me away.
Thank you.
let's unwind and let's get away and never look back to all the cares that we had before. I wouldn't mind if we checked today, matter of fact. Let me know when we go, my bag's already packed. What do you say we go? Hitch us a tent, rent us a bungalow, or ramble through the Orient. Watch the moonlight beam on a mountain stream.
Well, a girl can dream.
Take me away. Take me away.
One thing I did want to mention about this release by the Uptown Vocal Jazz Quartet, that they've written in the liner notes that they dedicate this record to Tim Hauser, founder of the Manhattan Transfer, and they thank him for 40 years of inspiration. Really nice, Jenny.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, so, and so true, so true.
Yeah. Well, Jenny, you and I are into 2015, probably you more than me, but...
That's debatable.
Well, you know, resolutions and how they done been broke. I mean, I've not even started my resolutions. I've done nothing. I've done nothing.
Make resolutions?
Huh? What was
did
that?
You make resolutions and just not started them, or did you not make them?
Well, kind of a little of both. I mean, I kind of like mumbled, I need to do more of this,
right.
A little less than that. And
not sure that's a resolution. That may just be a mumble.
It really is a mumble. I must admit to my listening audience, it was a mumble. So,
and I think this whole New Year's Eve, phenomenon would have us, would try to persuade us that we need to make resolutions, but we probably need to, assess, do we really need to do that? Or is that just, commercial hype?
Well, a friend of mine, he's always like, Cheryl, why do you put everything on the calendar? Why is everything, you got to do this in the next hour. I've got to, accomplish this in the next 5 years. And,
mm-hmm.
The older I get, it's like, you're right. I can't keep putting time limits on everything because it's, life is crazy. Things change every minute of the day.
Yeah.
So. Got to kind of be flexible.
Right.
Yeah. And you, have you made any resolutions?
Well,
or?
I finally got old and wise and said, no. I'm not making any resolutions that are...
What?
Something I'm not going to keep. Well, let me explain. That, I like your philosophy because, putting a time limit on things between... this January, next January, I'm going to, lose 50 pounds and blah, 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 whatever it may be. You're obviously going to wake up on January 2nd and say, I'm not sure I want to do that. So let's just take a more realistic look at that and say, okay, December 31st, you don't necessarily have to be making this laundry list of things that in your heart of hearts you're probably not going to achieve, at least not to the degree that you're saying you will. So just kind of take inventory of, who am I and what do I believe in and what would make me happy? I think that's a better way to approach this whole, resolution thing. So I kind of did that this year without even formally doing it. And I just woke up on, January 2nd or 3rd or sometime in there and said, okay, what's going on and what do I need to do and what do I want to do and what would make me happy and feel like, I've accomplished something and no pressure. And so my belief is, I want to share our new music with good people. And that's why I'm here talking to you, mm-hmm. and you're sharing all of our music or a lot of our music with good people. So that's cool. And right then and there, I feel like, not only has some kind of resolution been fulfilled, but I'm spurred on. And I'm happy, and that's the way we're going to go from this point on.
You are truly a wise woman.
Well, I don't know if I actually am, but I talk a good story. Talk the talk.
All right, Jenny Carr, last words that you'd like to leave us with.
Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. We so appreciate your tuning in and your appreciation of jazz musicians. You know, everybody, so many of us are out there just pouring our heart into our music. And if you feel so inclined to check out more of the offerings on Vocal Madness, I will tell you that Richie Cole is a jazz icon. He's well known to the jazz community and has done many fine recordings in his very long career. We're honored to have him with us on this CD. And you can find Vocal Madness at our website, UptownVocalJazzQuartet.com, and of course also on iTunes and Amazon.com. And we hope that you'll at least listen and, you know, explore it a little bit further. And we thank you all for listening to good music and enjoying what we have to offer. Thank you so much. And thank you, Cheryl, for letting us share this with your listeners.
Of course, of course. Well, Ginny, you had the last word. Now you've got the last choice. What would you like us to hear?
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Well, how about a song that, do we have a lot of time? Okay, I Love Lucy is we did a cut on our Vocal Madness album, which was a reprise of a tune everybody knows. Everybody knows the great I Love Lucy TV program. And everybody loves, it's a very, you know, affection-drawing song, the theme song from I Love Lucy. There's a lot of history behind that song because Richie Cole released that song in his own inimitable bebop Alto Madness style way back in the late 70s, early 80s, and it became kind of a signature for him. So he resurrected that when he was working with us recently playing I Love Lucy and said, you know, let's do something together with this. So my vocal group and I added some vocals to it. He played his very famous bebop and sax solo, and I Love Lucy is, you know, just one of those songs everybody knows, and we're delighted to include that and share that with all of you.
Great. Thank you so much, Ginny.
Thank you.
I love Lucy and she loves me. We're as happy as two can be, and life is heaven, you see. 'Cause I love Lucy, yes, I love Lucy, and Lucy loves me.
Uptown Vocal Jazz Quartet. Their new release on House Cat Records is called Vocal Madness, and that featured Richie Cole with the tune I Love Lucy. Nice interview. Thanks, Ginny. And thanks to all of you in our listening audience in the Hudson Valley of New York